Hello, and welcome to this edition of the Talking Data Podcast. I'm Ed Burns from the site Search Business Analytics, and I'm here with my usual partner, Jack Vaughn, from Search Data Management. Now, Jack, I know that you just recently attended the IDC Directions conference, and sounds like there was a pretty good amount of discussion of big data, some pretty important trends happening in that realm, which is obviously of great significance to us. But why don't you give us a picture of sort of the state of big data in 2016? What were some of the things that you learned?
Well, I did go down there to ask the question, is big data ready to go mainstream? And I sort of found out, according to these analysts who are following it very closely every day, sort of found out that, well, big data already has gone mainstream. Talked with Carl Olofsson. He's a longtime analyst covering databases. And he said there are more real applications for big data now than ever. He did emphasize that it's important to include NoSQL when you have that discussion. So basically, these built for purpose NoSQL databases have crept into operations that revolve around the web, especially in e-commerce. Meanwhile, Hadoop, he mentioned, is used as a staging area for all the data that's arriving. So still has room to grow, but could be called mainstream. It's not replacing applications, though. So that might be part of the case or reasoning why it sometimes is not quite so visible to us. We look at surveys and we see that the proof of concepts seem to outnumber the actual operations. But of course, that's Hadoop, and it may be different if we looked at NoSQL. But again, it's new applications. It's a new class of functionality, is the way Carl put it. Dan Vissette was there as well. He's another analyst more on the analytics side, your side. And he did say, yes, we're seeing big data go mainstream. And in terms of Hadoop, he said it's hard to find a big company that doesn't have a deployment. And one thing he pointed to was improved security. It's coming along. And he talked about granularity. So that's the granularity of security is improving from what it once was. For Hadoop just a couple of years or even a year ago. Part of the Hadoop architecture calls for files really to be strewn all about in the clusters, and that can be an issue, and you sort of have to have a granular level of security masking and so forth that follows those fragments, catches up, and manages them, and the Hadoop vendors have been coming out with software that seems to manage that.
And so I'm just curious, when these analysts are talking about big data, especially in regards to Hadoop and NoSQL already having gone mainstream, what sorts of businesses are they talking about? It seems like we would be talking primarily about very large companies. Is that correct?
Well, I think it is fair to say large companies. Again, to the extent that business is moving to the web, for Amazon, business has always been on the web, and they've been doing big data there in their own way for some time. You take a company like Walmart, Target, and they're coming along. They're just working on it. They don't show the same share as some of the leaders, but they are using the new tools. No, they are running websites that they will keep at until they actually, I don't want to say supersede the store, but certainly become on par with the commerce that they're seeing in stores.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, obviously when we're talking about such large companies like Walmart and Target, yeah, they might not have the computer science experience, but they certainly have no shortage of resources that they can pour into this kind of thing. So you can see how they might be getting on board. Another thing I know came up during the conference was the idea of cognitive computing. And you had mentioned that you attended a session with David Chimel, who discussed the concept a little bit more. And this is one that I find really interesting. It's something that we're hearing come up a lot more often these days. It seems like every vendor is trying to get into the cognitive computing space, whether or not they have something that could actually qualify as cognitive computing. That's maybe another question. But based on this session that you attended, what's your takeaways from what's happening in the cognitive computing space?
Well, it was nice, thanks to see it through David Chimel's eyes, because they're really, it's often hard to find an objective perspective on any of this. Basically, he says that cognitive systems have already started to disrupt the world of business. Yes, this is based on AI that's been around a long while. Deep learning is part of his consideration, just as well as his cognitive computing. What he and his colleagues at IDC gauge is this, that by 2020, 50% of all business analytics software will include prescriptive analytics, and that will built on some cognitive computing functionality. So he did take some effort to define what it is, and that's one of the big problems still. So he talked about defining what a cognitive software platform is, and he broke it into four elements: user and data interaction, knowledge representation, learning, and reasoning. And here I think we'll just look at about three of those. User and data interaction elements that might include natural language processing, Q&A processing, natural language generation, speech recognition. We're all getting more used to this stuff. He said, you know, Siri was a joke 4 years ago. I'm afraid in my house it still is. But I think we're finding we do keep trying with Siri, and I found some of the alternatives to actually be pretty good for basic questions. I think we're seeing natural language processing happening, but we're almost a little not too aware of it. Dan Bessette, who I mentioned before, he described how he had to straighten out a problem with Lowe's, and he was able to do it to his contentment, which included getting a rebate on a charge they had given him without ever talking with a human, because I think we are learning. The machine asks us questions, but when we ask a question back, it's starting to actually respond to that question. It's not working from as narrow a script. So user data and interaction, that's part of it, and that's happening. Knowledge representation, when he got into that, David talked about something we've begun to cover here, which is graph databases and triple stores. That lies within Watson, but again, not too many people know that that's in there. So learning is another aspect. That's machine learning, which, again, we see it with Google's ability to kind of guess at what we're trying to do based on what it's seen other people try and do. And in the background is machine learning. The recommendations that we're familiar with at Amazon and elsewhere. And then finally, reasoning, which I think is a little far off.
I'll just say that I'm pretty happy to hear that David was trying to define exactly what he means by cognitive computing, because I feel like it's something that I'm hearing a ton about these days, but it seems like a lot of people want to include just any instance of machine learning in the cognitive computing discussion. And I think that for something to qualify as cognitive computing, there has to be more than just the learning component. So thank you, Jack, for recapping your trip to IDC Directions. It sounds like there was a lot of definitely worthwhile big data and data management talk there. Thanks for recapping it all. And thank you to our listeners for joining us on this edition of the Talking Data Podcast.